Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk, coming to you today from the Montanotti Hotel, with thanks to ESB, Ireland's largest EV charging network. And if you'd like to win a fabulous two-night stay here, just get in contact at 087 1400 106 and tell us, why is Cork better than Dublin? Not a particularly difficult question to answer. I would have thought that was the insiders we're listening to again with what arguably could be the Cork national anthem, really, or the national anthem when Cork takes over. That's the Franca Waters song, after all. We will be hearing from the lads once more towards the end of the show. Time now for So You Think You're an Adult. Barbara Scully and Pádraig McCarthy Wilson are here to solve all your problems. Good afternoon. Is the heat killing you?
Not at all. This is like the Rebel Riviera back here, Sean. Welcome to Cork. Is there any better place to be on a sunny day?
Absolutely not. He says, because he's here. Probably everywhere saying that. Right. There's a man who I work with who is widely disliked. A lot of the women I work with complain that he's rude, arrogant and generally unpleasant. He's also known to be one of the laziest men in the office, passing off work to others, taking credit for projects he was barely involved in. Because of this, he tends to be the butt of many office jokes. He's often slagged, especially by women. Recently, I bumped into him on a night out and, after chatting to him and a couple of glasses of rosé, we ended up sleeping together. Rosé? You don't go like, oh, I had some rosé and the passion rose in me. Anyway, since then, it's become a regular thing. But he's been nothing but kind, funny and considerate with me. In fact, he's been so different from the person he's in the office. He's been asking me, what are we? And I definitely want us to be in an exclusive relationship, but I don't not want anyone to know. I just don't know how can I tell my colleagues that I'm essentially sleeping with the enemy. I was thinking of telling him what people say about him in the interest of honesty. That way, maybe he can be better in the office and then people won't be so baffled when I announce that we're together. I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. Any advice?
The rosé thing is funny. I mean, if it had been lavender gin, I could have got it.
Yeah.
Stay away from the rosé. Stay away from the rosé, first of all, and you wouldn't have any issues. That could be the first thing.
This could be the rosé talking.
Yeah, like this letter didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Are we meant to believe that this guy is a complete Jekyll and Hyde? In that, in the
office, like it,
he's lazy, he takes credit for work that's not his, and therefore he's the butt of all the jokes. But yet, after a couple of glasses of rosé and
a bit of miracle juice,
he's lovely and he's funny and he's considerate and he's kind. Like, I can't match up the two of those things together. So I'm wondering, is the problem the workplace? In other words, are they just being mean? Is this a whole load of mean girls just getting mean on this guy for whatever reason? And he's become the butt of the jokes and now it's kind of a habit. Or, because if he really is not doing the work and passing off of the work as his own, that needs to be handled. But it needs to be handled by management or wherever his boss is. Mm. You know, but somebody, like, just slagging him all the time and making him the butt of jokes to me seems really immature. So I think her problem is the workplace, not necessarily your man. Because I don't believe you can be too completely different people like that.
Yeah, because the way she phrases it, a lot of the women I work with complain he's rude.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to have first-hand experience of this.
No, but yet she's going along with it and she's saying she doesn't want to tell them that they've got together because it'll impact on friendships in the office.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on in the office?
It's giving a toxic work environment. Also, there's also a possibility that this man just doesn't like his job. So potentially she needs to have a word with him and say, right, you're clearly this different person outside of work. This is the best version of you. If you're not like that at work, well, then clearly there's an issue with the workplace, or whether it's something that you don't enjoy doing, should you be going to look at working somewhere else where you're going to be the best version of yourself first and foremost? But I do agree with you, Barbara. I think maybe it is a toxic work environment. If there's that little bit of like background gossiping going on and speaking about people behind the scenes, no wonder maybe he doesn't enjoy the environment, you know?
Like, I just kind of started to feel kind of sorry for him at the end, because I thought if he's able to be kind and considerate and funny, I don't understand how in the office he can be this completely different person. But you know the way very often in a situation like that, somebody gets labelled as being a certain way.
Yeah.
And people stop, you know, even if he's changed or he's different, people stop seeing the fact that
he's
actually...
Totally, and they're always introduced.
And it sticks.
Yeah, they're always introduced then as that person. They'll go down in history as being, having that
the lazy guy.
Exactly, even if he doesn't do... These kind of people, I suppose, can't do any right then, you know what I mean? Because they're always going to be labelled
that way.
Absolutely not. So hard workers only down here.
This is a Dublin problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems pretty clear. Maybe he doesn't like his job. But should she say, I think you should change your job because everyone at work hates you?
Well, I think if you're coming from a place of saying...
I mean this from with love in my heart, not rosé in my belly.
Well, you could come from a place of concern because if this man is behaving this way in work, he's obviously not happy there. Because if you are working a job that you enjoy, look, come here, nobody really wants to go to work. Let's call it a spade at the end of the day. But you have to. And if you're going to be going somewhere every day and you don't want to do it, well then, look, then you're probably not in an environment or doing the job that you want to do. Perhaps he's got, you know, another career in America, a passion project that he could pursue. But my concern with this is that she doesn't want to tell everybody else that they're together, right?
Yeah.
And that's a huge red flag here, because you shouldn't be hiding a relationship. If you really like this guy, potentially love this guy, well, then you should be proud of the relationship that you have, and you shouldn't really care what other people have to say, particularly if they are in the wrong. You know, like they're in the wrong if they're labeling this guy as whatever he is.
But if it's everybody, if it sounds like all the girls at work, Patrick, are standing around saying this guy's a dick, and then suddenly she goes, well, actually he's my boyfriend now.
Yeah.
Then they're all, you know, stench of dickness off her.
Well, yeah, use totally, the word dick. Totally.
That's my quota for the week now.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, it's dangerous territory. Yeah. I've worked in an office full of women, like, you know, and you want to be on their good side. I'll tell you that much. You know.
Oi.
Well, and men, wow. Don't worry. But and I usually am on their good side, which is great because I could be in with the gossip, like, you know, that's where you want to be. But I understand where she's coming from. I mean, look, she's obviously formed friendships there, and maybe potentially she is engaged in this slander of this man over time too, and you know, it could easily come out that she said X, Y and Z about him as well.
Oh,
which
God.
you don't want him finding out at the start of a new relationship that she's obviously very keen on.
The bottom line really is he still being dishonest and lazy and claiming other people's work in the office, or is that something that happened 6 months, 12 months ago and he hasn't done it since? In which case then, you know,
but
she needs to be loyal to him then, if Agreed. That's the case, and if she really likes him, she needs to stand up for him in the office, say, you know, girls, you're not being fair. He hasn't done that. He made a mistake a few months ago, but he hasn't done that since.
But what do you do if he actually is a lazy git? What I mean?
That's a big red flag. Mm. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I would agree.
Yeah, somebody says that's a guy, sounds like he's got office work down to a T. Do as little as possible to get credit for doing more.
I mean,
he's probably going to get promoted. So stick with him.
Yeah. And we all know we live in a patriarchy. So yeah, he probably is.
Yeah.
Stay in the shadows.
Should they both give up that job then?
I've been not myself personally, but I've worked in situations where there have been couples working within the office environment. Never a good idea.
Yeah.
Never a good idea. Because you bring work home with you. You know what I mean? You know, if you're in a relationship with someone and you go home at the end of the day, yes, you can speak about work. It's a good conversation to have with someone, telling them about your day. You're already after having the day with someone that you're working with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot of crossover there, you know?
Patrick, now we will be talking to Maura and Michael here right in front of us after this bit.
Right.
They're married for 50 years and they've worked together for 50 years.
Look, there's a good story from it anyway.
Before you said that, I was just going to say to you, aren't the young people gas?
Yeah.
Most of us met our partners in work.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you see, all of us are remote workers now, so we can't meet anyone.
Ah, you're
you
just
know?
Gas.
No. Yeah.
You're but you gas. Meet people just, over internet anyway.
That's
all
true. That is true.
This won't end well. If they break up, they can't both stay. Or if they do, it will be awful. Ooh, that's a good point.
That's true.
I've had friends leave work situations when they've split up with partners that they used to work with.
Yeah.
Just because it's too awkward and it doesn't work.
So one of them...
So the key is stay together.
Yeah.
Stay together and then you won't have that issue.
So what should she say to him? Should she say, change your job? Should she change your job?
No, she should really sit down and look at this. Is he still doing the bad behaviour?
Yeah.
And if he is, then she should run a mile.
Right.
Because
okay.
he's only performing for her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that's his real character is what's happening in work. So if he is still being like that, then I would say red flag, as you said. And I would
I would
cut your losses.
The other thing there is, if they do end up in a long-term relationship, can she really harbour this secret that their co-workers say all these things about him? So should she just be honest and be like, look, there's this narrative about you in the office. You need to step it up. Start doing a bit of work. I don't know.
I don't know if that'll go well within the terms of the relationship.
That's the relationship over then, actually.
Yeah,
That's why I'm single, Sean. I haven't a clue, to be honest.
Yeah. Then why did you go out with me then?
Yeah.
Right. My husband and I are a childless couple in our 50s who generally enjoy a quiet life. We get on reasonably well with our neighbours. One issue is causing increasing frustration. Their children are constantly playing football in the garden. And almost every day, the ball ends up in our back garden. Rather than supervising the situation or teaching the children to be more careful, the parents seem content to let it happen repeatedly. At first, the boys would ring our doorbell and ask us to throw the ball back. We did so politely, despite the interruptions. But after being disturbed so often, we stopped answering the door every time it happened. Aww. The children have taken to climbing over or jumping across our back fence to get the ball themselves. We find this incredibly intrusive. It feels as though our garden is no longer our private space, and we're uncomfortable with children hopping into our garden when we're not there. The parents appear to see nothing wrong with this arrangement and make no effort to stop them. We don't want to fight with our neighbours, but we're tired of feeling like the bad guys for wanting some peace and quiet. Are we being unreasonable?
I don't think they're being unreasonable at all. I would find that frustrating myself. I understand what happens, you know what I mean? When there's kids living next door, I totally understand. A screwdriver into the ball a few times, burst the ball, and then they won't be long, they won't be kicking it anywhere. There'll be no balls to kick.
Okay, I'll refer you back to the last letter. We don't have to be fighting with our neighbours.
Yeah, fair enough.
Handing back a ball with a screwdriver and it's like,
any future neighbours of mine, I'm only joking, by the way. I would never burst the balls. No, look, it's a tricky situation because you don't want to be that cranky neighbour either. Plus, you're going to be living with them long term. So I think a reasonable conversation. Anyone, if you approach a conversation reasonably, you know, they have to understand, you know, that there are frustrations here, particularly if they're, it is trespassing at the end of the day,
Oh, my God.
No?
I am about to explode. They're totally being unreasonable.
They're okay.
Totally being unreasonable. If they want to live a life like that where they're never disturbed, they need to move out to the country.
Oh, you think
Clare
so?
Island. Go and live on Clare Island where there's loads of space for the kids to throw balls without it landing in your garden. If you live in an urban area, which clearly these people do with a back garden, yeah, that'll happen. Kids are a nuisance.
But totally.
They're only kids for 5 minutes. And really, do you know, these kids sound grand. They were going around ringing the doorbell to go and get their ball back, asking probably for it quite politely. And now these people next door decide that that's too much of a disturbance. And then the kids are going over and helping themselves to the ball in the back garden, which isn't disturbing them at all, except the kids are in their back garden. But again, if you live in an urban area, I bet your back garden is fully on view from the neighbour's house on both sides.
Yeah.
This is baloney. Absolute and utter baloney.
Do you think so?
And they are
so
going to be
you'd have
grumpy.
No issue with someone knocking on your 3 or 4 times a day.
Because I had kids that did this.
You see, but this couple don't have kids, to be fair. And they live,
you've got to live and let live. Do you know what I mean?
I know. But if you're getting up and down off the couch like a yo-yo 4 or 5 times during something that's on the telly.
But they don't have to get up and down off the couch. The couch, because the kids are helping themselves to the ball in the back garden.
Are the kids doing? It doesn't sound like the kids are doing any damage.
No, they're not. They never said they're climbing in all the flower beds.
No, I understand, but there is an element of disturbing your peace at home as well. You know?
Stop.
Ah,
no,
come
if
on.
You live in an urban area, you have to have, I think, consideration for
neighbours. I think there's consideration if it's something that happens once or twice a week, or particularly at the weekends. But if it's something that's happening constantly, I would understand why they're getting frustrated.
Just play ball in their back garden.
Screwdriver into the ball.
Oh, you're not. Oh, that's shocking. That's absolutely
Do you know what you do? Kick it over into the neighbours on the other side, and then they'll have to keep going around. They won't be. They'll start kicking it in the opposite direction. You see,
Mark, I never knew you had this dark side.
Yeah,
never knew you had this.
I just like my peace and quiet.
My neighbour would stick a fork in the ball and throw it back. My brother's footballing skills improved immensely.
We could do with a bit of practice for the Irish team, couldn't we, really? So anything that's going to promote football in a good way.
Did you ever do that thing when you were a kid of trying to kick the ball over the house from the front garden?
Barbara, you
garden?
Know me now, I'm an angel. I never did anything out of the way as a child. We had goals in our backyard and I always got into the goal.
Shouldn't they be thankful those kids aren't playing hurling in the backyard?
Because exactly.
They wouldn't have a window left.
Yeah.
And wait, those kids are teenagers, then they know all the when the parents go away, they have a party.
That'd be, bottles of lavender gin in their backyard. That's when the trouble starts.
Exactly.
David says, just talk to them. Let them know it's not on. You'd be surprised how understanding kids are. Yeah, I would. To be honest.
Yeah, you can imagine the names.
Oh, yeah, definitely we'll do that. Yeah.
I mean, let's
go. So, split decision there.
Yeah,
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm totally with the kids.
Yeah. Are you
totally
really? I don't know. I think there's grounds for a proper conversation with the parents there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going
to
be rough.
Could you say to the parents, stick up one of them net things to catch the balls?
Maybe
that's
you could.
It's overkill, isn't it?
Probably. You know, it depends on the size of the garden.
Like
and you know what's going to happen next? You know what's going to happen next? There's a neighbourhood WhatsApp group.
You don't need to be slandered in one of those WhatsApp groups. I've experienced
that. You need to keep your neighbours on side.
Yeah, I understand.
You need to be considerate of each other. Do you know, it's the two-way street. Yeah. And I think kids coming over the back wall to get a ball is no harm to anybody.
Yeah.
I'd let them away off with it, and I'd tell them.
I'd love to be your neighbour.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we'd have a great time.
I'm the nuisance neighbour because I have neighbours, bless them, who I'm very fond of on both sides, and they've no animals. And I live in a zoo,
okay,
basically.
Okay, right.
So, you know, I have neighbours who are very considerate and put up with our marauding cats.
Yeah. But you're saying your neighbours, if they were, you know, would be quite open and honest with coming round and complaining to Barbara Scully.
I wouldn't.
If I was your neighbour now, Barbara, I'd be very slow to hop your fence. I'm telling you that one.
I'd sort you out in a minute.
I'd feckin' move. That's the first thing.
Yeah. I hear Cape Clear Island is lovely.
I've been with my boyfriend. I love this one. I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years. We've lived together for the last year. During that entire time, he's never seen me without makeup. When we first started dating, people are looking so.
Yeah.
When we first started dating, I always made sure I looked my best. Then it became a habit. Now it's become a secret. I take my makeup off only after he's fallen asleep, and I set my alarm early enough to put it back on before he wakes up. If he unexpectedly wakes up in the middle of the night, I panic. If we're going away together, I secretly pack extra products and worry constantly about being caught barefaced. The ridiculous thing is that I'm not hiding anything dramatic. I'm not unrecognizable without makeup. I just look like a normal woman with pale skin and a few blemishes. My boyfriend often tells me I'm beautiful, but he has no idea how much effort goes into maintaining the image he sees every day. I'm exhausted by the secrecy and the constant planning, but I'm equally terrified he'll think I'm ugly without makeup. How do I finally let him see the real me? After 3 years of pretending, I wake up looking exactly the same as I did when I went to bed.
Oh, bloody hell.
I know.
All I could think of...
Weirdly, when this question came in, this is relatable. There was a kind of, I know somebody who does that.
Oh, you
know?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, again, young people, Jesus wept. Anyway, all I could think of when I read this was her pillowcases.
Yeah. You must sleep like she's Dracula on her back.
Yeah. You know, I mean, all of us have gotten into bed with doing a rubbish job of taking off your makeup. And, you know, you got the mascara marks on your pillow the next morning. But I mean, if she clearly must be getting into bed in her full makeup, waiting for him to fall asleep and then creeping out to go and take her makeup off. And I mean,
she probably needs the makeup because the bags under her eyes being up all night waiting to take the makeup off. God love her, you know?
But I mean, you know, I would be the first, as you know, Sean, to sometimes criticise men. But just the odd time.
She just slips out.
Yeah, she doesn't mean it. Honestly.
No, I don't. Yeah. No. But I mean, you know, I don't think the boyfriend is an idiot. I would, you know, if you're wearing makeup, you look like you're wearing makeup. Do you know what I mean?
But he might be an idiot.
Is he an idiot? Would he be that thick?
You see, do men notice this stuff anyway?
Again, talking about the young people. Yeah, it's because I had a fan today. I feel as if I've aged about 20 years.
But even if a couple have been together for 3 years.
Yeah.
And she says, do you notice anything different about me? He'll notice if he can see more of her boobs. He'll never notice her makeup.
But I'm also wondering, have they never gone swimming together? Have they never gone to a spa together?
Oh God,
they must quite restricted in what they can do because of this insecurity that she has. I actually read this and I felt quite sorry for her.
Yes,
because she obviously is a very insecure person, and I think first and foremost she needs to work on herself. You know, and make sure that you know she's confident in herself. Look. If you're living with someone for 3 years, it's not all about looks. At some point, you know what I mean? He's obviously staying for more than the looks. You're obviously a person that he really loves being around, enjoys your company. So looks will come second to that at the end of the day. I don't know what advice to offer this girl, really, only maybe start paring it back. You know, start wearing less
just going to have to jump in at the deep end.
Do you think so?
I think she's managed to get herself into a situation where 3 years later she's been keeping up this pretense.
Yeah.
Which I would put money on that he knows.
And it's probably costing her a fortune.
But I mean, I just think it's really awful for your skin, especially in weather like this. When you get home, the first thing you want to do, am I right, is take off your makeup.
Oh, I find it hard putting moisturiser on when it's this hot. To be honest, so I can't imagine. I find it hard putting moisturizer on when it's this hot. So never mind a full face of makeup.
Yeah,
but I don't know how you gals do it.
I agree with you in that I think it shows a really low self-esteem.
Yeah. Which
and
is
the
sad.
Fact that this young woman thinks that her entire attractiveness boils down to how her face presents.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is not the case. She's worth, her worth is so much more than how she appears. And I don't want to go off on a soapbox. But I think that she does need to just jump in.
Just jump
and
in,
and just
yeah.
say, you know, yeah, I have been doing this and I'm an idiot and now I'm going to stop doing it.
Would you recommend her having a conversation with him about it?
Well, she's going to have to eventually.
Well,
really,
I mean, you know, I'd say you could be right, Sean. I'd say she could take off her makeup tonight going to bed and he wouldn't bat an eyelid. He wouldn't have a clue.
Quite possibly.
No, he might, though. I mean, depending on the makeup. Like, but he comes home from work, she hasn't got the makeup on. He thinks, oh, my God, you've got cancer. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's probably one of these things that, like, she's built up so much in her mind now that it's a massive deal for her.
Yeah,
and
it
might
not
be a massive deal.
It's not a massive deal.
Absolutely not. It won't be a big deal to him at all.
No,
but you know when you're harboring something like a secret or it's weighing on your mind for so long, then it's probably built up in her head that it's going to be this extreme reaction when there's probably no reaction at all, you know. And actually, maybe he'd probably see a vulnerability in her that is quite endearing in a way.
Yeah. And so, actually, now is the time to do it.
Totally.
You know, oh, yeah.
Go out and put your sun factor on and all, but everybody's a bit more tan now.
Yeah.
You don't look quite as sick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You don't look a bit anemic at the moment. Yeah.
Now is the time to do it, girl. Go get your makeup off tonight.
Absolutely.
Jump in at the deep end.
One listener says, my husband won't notice if I get a haircut or even a colour change. I love him dearly. He's completely oblivious.
Yeah.
My friends' fellas are all the same.
That's why it works.
Someone says, makeup is getting out of hand. I know people who never go outside the house without the full war paint. When you see athletes wearing lipstick, you know the world has gone mad. I guarantee that the fella won't even notice.
Yeah,
if my wife has a nail or hair appointment, I write hair or nails into my phone
so we can
remember which one looks nice.
I've never heard anyone putting a reminder in their calendar to compliment.
That's the key to a happy marriage. My wife often apologizes to me when she hasn't got makeup on. She always looks gorgeous without makeup. She always looks gorgeous with makeup. They're different, but both very, very attractive. Both looks, that is. Show him it may change your life and his for the best. She must have been bedbound with a bad flu at some stage. If he didn't realise the makeup thing then, he never will, says Tony.
Yeah, no, I just don't know how she's managed to do this for 3 years. I really don't. But
it's like a full-time job.
It isn't
really.
The only thing is, it's very handy being a woman sometimes. I remember back 100 million years ago when I was at work, if I needed a day off that I knew I wasn't going to get if I asked for it, I used to go into work with no makeup on. And people would say, you don't look great. Yeah. I go, no, I'm not feeling great.
Well.
And then the next day you wouldn't
genius.
Because you were sick.
Yeah.
Genius.
Somebody else has suggested, give him a few glasses of rosé before showing him your face with the makeup.
Fantastic.
My wife and I are in our mid-50s. This is so relatable. You'll all be nodding to this one. My wife and I are in our mid-50s, and our three kids have finally fled the nest. She recently suggested we spice things up in the bedroom by introducing pornography. At first, I was really excited by this prospect because I regularly enjoy this on an individual basis. However, on the first night of the joint experiment, she opened up a copy of Lady Chatterley's Lover and started reading excerpts from it. I was actually stunned. She found it all very arousing, but I didn't at all. I see porn as being videos, and I presume this is what we were talking about. The following week, she put on a podcast. Yes, a bloody podcast about a couple exploring themselves in the Lake District during the summer of 1923. I want us to watch videos about threesomes, cuckolds and cosplay. These are the things I normally watch. But how do I bridge this maddening gap between erotic literature and my own more progressive and modern interests? I honestly can't listen to her reading out stuff again and pretending to find it amazing.
First thing I want to say about this is, oh my God, they're in their mid-50s and their kids have fled the nest.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Wow.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about that. Unless they've emigrated, in which case I understand it. But having everybody gone in your mid-50s, wow, that's kind of like winning the lottery, isn't it? Okay, so this man's wife is a words woman. She can imagine all that she needs to imagine to get herself going by reading good literature, such as Lady Chatterley, and that's her thing. And I mean, I think probably I'd agree with him insofar as that I'd probably refer to that more as erotic than as porn.
I would agree,
But, and the man, as most men, not that I'm dissing men,
no,
that's okay,
need to be much more visually aroused. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it has to be much more obvious, much more in your face. What I don't understand...
Your heavily made up face.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are very rude people in Cork. And this is another reason why you shouldn't be the capital. That's very rude. Very rude.
There's two sides of the argument for that one now.
But I do think there's a slightly more serious side to this in that I think a lot of women are nervous of watching porn because of concerns about women being coerced or trafficked into the porn industry. Yeah. And I think statistically, women who do watch porn, the majority of women, I think, tend to watch, even like straight women, lesbian porn, because it more centres on pleasure and intimacy and not kind of weird things. So I think he needs to bear that in mind. If he does, I mean, obviously the answer here is a compromise. Like, we'll read Lady Chatterley's Lover tonight and maybe tomorrow night can I choose a movie. But I think he needs to be very careful of the pornography
not
he wants
to turn
to
off
watch.
What's turned on.
Yeah, because she might not, it may not work for her if it's not. Yeah.
Look, the first thing here to say is, at least they're both willing and eager, I suppose, right? Because, after a marriage, you know, I've been told, not that I'd know about it, things can go south very quickly, you know, in terms of sexual attraction and stuff like that. So obviously they're both willing and they both want to explore sexuality and explore different desires and needs, and that's great. So that's the first hurdle here. I think potentially they definitely have different interests, but there's room for a crossover. For example, like, if he likes watching porn, why not watch, I don't know, Bridgerton themed porn, you know, this kind of thing.
Okay.
There's room for this kind of thing here. Also,
do
he
you
may,
mean just Bridgerton he, or is there such
I
a thing as Bridgerton
I don't know what
later
Chatterley
asking
is
asking for a
look,
friend.
It wouldn't be my genre of choice, to be honest, right? It wouldn't be my genre of choice.
They probably would have made a film out of Lady Chatterley's stuff, right? I think they did, actually.
They probably have. They probably have. Sure,
probably not that
dirty. It's probably not, no. There's a big dark web out there full of stuff I'd say we don't even know the half of. But what I will say is, as well, he speaks about cosplaying there. So maybe there's room for, you know, looking at getting a costume or buying an item for the room that might spice things up, that fit her genre, but also attend to his desires as well, I suppose. Can I say that in the middle of the day on the radio?
Oh, no, you have.
It's too late now anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I think both of them might hate that.
Do you think so?
Potential, yeah.
Well, he mentions cosplay. I suppose maybe he doesn't want to do it in the sense of it being
but
1802.
She obviously likes kind of your more historical novels, things that are heaving bosoms and things that are left unsaid. He likes, oh, I'm a plumber, my clothes fell off.
There's
a big gulf there.
I mean, it would be
is that what porn is? Oh, I'm a plumber, my clothes fell off.
That's what I imagine it is, That's what Chris Kent does in spare time. That's why he's not an electrician anymore.
It certainly would be a very, very difficult bridge to gap.
Yes.
Yeah,
it
for
would.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm sure it's trial and error, you know?
And I mean, obviously, you know, they need to have... I don't understand why they're just doing what she wants at the minute. Like, has he tried to put on, say, I want to watch this movie, and has she...
Look, she sounds like a woman of good taste. He doesn't sound like his taste is in the same direction.
She's a woman, he's a man.
Yeah, look, I mean... Ma'am, bam, thank you, ma'am. I know it's...
Yeah,
you know,
end
it's
of like, story. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I just think...
Yeah, could he... Like, if she was playing a podcast, he could just play one of his porn films, but she doesn't have to look at it. She could just listen to it.
In separate rooms.
Keep her face averted. See, does that work for
not
her?
Not sure. I mean, a lot of it is... I mean, even the cosplay thing, like, a lot of it is to experiment.
Yeah.
And to try. And if
you,
it works, fine.
And
you'd
be shocked.
But if it doesn't work, fine as well.
They could potentially be shocked about, you know...
It does work.
Oh, and like, obviously, look, they've had a marriage for a long time and they've got kids together, so they are sexually aligned in some way, so there's a possibility
or
here
they
that
wear. The kids are all adults.
Yeah, that's true too. But there is a possibility here that they could find a common interest. You know,
yeah.
Hopefully,
good luck with that. Really, I would have thought, but there must be kind of more kind of historical themed porn.
Oh, I'm sure there probably is, but it's just a question. And there's also feminist porn. I think,
yes, there is. Yeah,
and
there is.
You know, definitely, which would be
there's little, definitely ethical porn as well. Where like that, it isn't
dangerous for her to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of it is very like you know, as a woman, you're just like
totally. Yeah. Or even as a man, it can be quite jarring.
Yeah, no.
I've been told.
Yeah,
me too.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, you were told.
There's no porn in Cork.
No. We don't need it down here.
Men are visual. Women can see it in the mind's eye.
Yes, well, that is true. You see. That's yes, we have is. Different brains.
Yeah, indeed.
Believe it or not.
That's the difficulty. Yeah, you see, she's thinking brains, he's thinking.
He's thinking.
Down south, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
Paul Drake and Barbara, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.